Warm welcome to the Get Up and Run podcast with me, Williams.
And me, Rachel
Twelves. How are you? How are you all doing? Anyway.
Morning.
So yeah, this is the intro for the podcast show. If you're listening to the show, we're now on YouTube. If you're now on YouTube, you're probably thinking, oh, do you know what? I wouldn't mind listening to this because, gee whiz. Anyway, on the show, what did you say?
Got nothing better to do.
No, of course we haven't. Half term, loads to do. Anyway, we've got on the show today a lovely guy called Rhino Chris. I don't even know what Chris's surname is, but he's one of those people.
It's legal name actually Rhino Chris.
No, not yet. Not yet. But people will know him from the Tower Bridge in London during the London Marathon, where he's dressed up. Now, in the podcast chat, I talk away with Chris, and because I'm no good at working out weight, we realised that he's carrying the weight of two small dogs.
Wow.
No, medium-sized dogs for the London Marathon. He's coming up to do his 100th. You'll see that in the show, which will be on in a tick. He's doing that, and he's coming up to his 100th marathon as Rhino Chris. He's been doing it since 2000 and something, which explains in the show. He also has basically now done 2,600 miles as a rhinoceros. I think that's brilliant. He's raised thousands and thousands of pounds, and I spoke to him a little bit in depth about the plight of the rhino and how people can help. But we're going to explore a little bit now, I think, on, you know, fundraising. And it's not only does the people that you're fundraising who it helps for, but also how it helps yourself and others. Because Leon, who we've got on the show later on, his first ever, in another episode, his first ever race was New York, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he did it for Save the Rhino, which I think is incredible. Chris speaks as well about how he's helped schools and transformed them and so on. And I'm going to really take a punt here now. If you are doing a marathon or a 5K or a 10K or an ultra marathon, do it for someone. Doesn't matter who it is, collect for someone or collect for something. Or even if you just want to raise awareness for something, because you've got that facility, haven't you, Rachel, to be able to do that?
Absolutely, especially nowadays with social media.
Yeah, social media's brilliant. Anyway, I thought, should we give them some super duper top tips before we go into the show?
Being a rhino?
No. Of what's your say if somebody was gonna ask you a question. So like feet management, I could talk all day home. What do you like speaking about with different parts of the from trail ultra, from the prep to the finish? What bits of advice do you like giving where you're confident in?
See, I'm very much, if you listen to the podcast with Leon, very similar to Leon in that I just see it as like a normal day. So no stress in. I am organised in that I would make sure that my kit is prepared in advance and that I've got everything I need, especially if there's like a mandatory kit list.
Yeah.
Feet management I could be better on. I suffer really badly with blisters. I've got two hot spots. My two little toes, just from years of running and hockey, sort of go under my foot almost, so they always rub. So I've tried the Ninja socks and things. So my foot management could be better, but yeah, just fuel.
How could it be better, Rachel? What else could you be doing for your feet?
I've tried taping beforehand. I've tried all sorts. I think it's just now completely down to the way my foot's positioned, like the same years of of running and sport.
So if you're new to the sport, look after your feet. Feet management, I can't stress enough. people, as you say, a little bit. I think because you get so excited in a new hobby and so on, you might forget things and stuff. Your feet is, you know...
You spend time on them.
Yeah. So we talk about hot spots. Hot spots are, say, like, that's your foot. Say, different bits where the skin might wear out in different bits, which you'll probably already know. But standard, it's going to be on along the side, on the pad, and on your on your ankle. You can get some KY tape, tape them up.
Yeah.
And also, little tip from Hugh is cut the tape ready as well.
Yeah.
To take with you in a little bag, so you can easily do it. And a little pack of, you know, you can take the talc like sand from the desert. In like a little baggio sort of thing.
Extra pair of socks.
Always, because if anything, they just feel even nice.
I'm just out for a really long walk. I always take a pair of socks. Always put them in like a food bag. Make sure they're dry.
Yes.
And always wear a pair of socks.
Yeah, and change into them.
Absolutely.
You know, even if your feet aren't wet or you don't need them. It's lovely to just put a new pair of socks on whilst there. Do you know what? We've been way too much help. Look. It's because we want to do it right, start off with. You know, we've made this little virtual thing for you all. And we
mistakes over the years. It's refreshing, isn't it? I would have loved somebody to tell me years ago, look after your feet, K-tape, socks. I never got any of that advice, so...
Yeah. So if you tell, maybe, I don't know, 2,000 of your friends to watch this video to get that advice into their brains, then off we go. However, from feet... Listen to this. From feet to hoofs with Rhino Chris on today's Get Up and Run podcast. Yes!
Get up. Recording stopped.
Brilliant. That was brilliant. Brilliant. I just love the fact we've got a studio, yeah, Rachel? Right, I'm going to go to sleep now. I'll speak to you in April.
Yeah. Oi, see you later.
Hilarious. What me and Chris look like. If you are listening to this... Just imagine that I'm speaking to a very, very, very friendly rhinoceros, which I wouldn't recommend that you did in real life, although I might find out about how friendly rhinoceroses are. I've got on the show, ladies and gentlemen, who are in YouTube world, I've got Rhino Chris. We're recording this today on a beautiful Tuesday. Are we Tuesday morning, Chris? Yeah. Tuesday morning here, Chris. Now, a lot of people won't recognise you. No, I feel no, as no. if you, Chris, I've just come into your house and you're in the bath. This is the... I'm seeing you with not your normal gear on. Can you give us a quick little bio, Chris? Can you give us a quick bio for anybody who... Well, I think it's good that you're not in your normal attire, so people can sort of, like, have a little... find out who you are. Can you give us a quick little bio, but not too much, otherwise we won't have a show.
Well, I wish I was better prepared in terms of having the rhino sat with me, just for association for everyone. But yeah, since 2009, I've been running and writing and doing everything I can to spread awareness about rhinos and the plight of rhinos and how close they are to extinction and how hard we need to fight to save them from extinction. And you know, that comes in the form of wearing a huge rhino costume. And as I say, sort of running as many events and getting the word out there as often as possible. So, it's shaping up to be a really big year because the rhino's coming up to their 100th marathon at London.
And then, Chris, can we just reverse... How did you first get involved with how much you care for the rhinos and so on? And how long were you a rhino fan before the, you know, the plight of the rhino and raising awareness and so on. What's your history with, you know, the rhinoceros?
I've pretty much been a rhino fan and a lover of rhino, obsessed with rhinos ever since I was a little boy. My whole life, my first memories are of an amazing holiday that I was lucky enough to have, a family trip that we made to Kenya. I was only 5 years old, and that was the first time that I ever saw a rhino. And I can remember, you know, being a little bit intimidated when this massive animal sort of walked in front of the safari jeep that we were on, and just not really knowing what to expect. You know, the two massive horns and, as I say, just the sheer size of it. And then in the same moment, I remember vividly the little rhino calf running out. So it was a mother with her calf. And then the transition from kind of being intimidated to just being just overcome with this love, because I could see, you know, the rhino was so gentle and the mother rhino was kind of so nurturing and looking after this little calf. It was just the most beautiful scene, and it stayed with me all through kind of growing up. Instead of, you know, unlike sort of most kids having sort of teddy bears, I would have cuddly rhinos, and I'd have rhino posters on the wall, and just started to, you know, all things rhino I collected, and my room became a bit of a shrine to rhinos. And then obviously as I got older and learned more about them and the different species of rhino and learned how much in danger they were, I wanted to get more and more involved. So I became a supporter of Save the Rhino, but it was 2009 where I was first introduced to the rhino costume and got to run the London Marathon for the first time as a rhino. And yeah, it's been the privilege and honour of my life to every time I get to be a rhino. I honestly, I mean, if this doesn't sound, make me sound too mad early doors, but you know, I feel more rhino than human these days. I spend so much time in that rhino costume. But yeah, it's awesome. I've had so many adventures and just love it. And opportunities like this to talk to your good self.
And then talking about the rhinos and so on, can you give us a little bit of factoid time? Because I'm a geek with stuff like this. You know, how long do rhinoceroses live for? How many pregnancies they have and so on? What's the life cycle of a rhinoceros?
Yeah, so typically rhinos will live in the wild up to about sort of 40 years in captivity, a little bit longer, maybe up to sort of 50 years. I'm coming up to my 50 years now, so I'm kind of getting a bit worried that my rhino expiration date is coming up. But I honestly feel with all the running I'm doing, it's beginning to take its toll in the suit. Maybe have a Save the Chris sign underneath the Save the Rhino sign.
I like it.
There's five different species of rhino. You've got the black rhino, which is one of the critically endangered one. You've got the white rhino, which happily numbers are on the rise, which is fantastic news. You've got the greater one-horned rhino in India, Nepal. Again, their numbers are on the rise. We're doing great things there. That's fantastic. Then you've got the Sumatran rhino and the Javan rhino in Indonesia and those respective islands. And they are the ones that are really, really on the brink. I mean, it's crazy to think Sumatran rhinos, about 34 to 47 of those left in the wild, which is crazy. You think that just so few. And same in the Javan rhinos, there's about 80 of those left in the wild at last sort of monitoring. So, you know, those numbers are really scary. So I like to focus on the positives, because obviously everybody who's got behind the campaign, I want them to know that the difference they're making. You know, World Rhino Day is every September, and it was announced last year that as a whole, the five species, as I say, if you take it collectively, a lot of good news with some of those species numbers rising, but there's still so much work to do. So it's kind of a massive thank you to everybody who's been helping with the campaign, but also a plea to, you know, not rest on our laurels and just keep going, which is why I'm going grey with all the rhino running.
And then, so what causes the we're brinking extinction on, you know, as you say, the last two that you mentioned? Is it environmental? Is it hunting? Is it a bit of both? Or the non-education of the communities that are living around it? Or, you know, the reduction for those, why is it so much?
Yeah, so it's all of those things that you've listed. So in the particular case of Sumatran and Javan, it is habitat loss above all. You know, it's actually, there's so few numbers, is actually getting those rhinos to be able to meet each other, to mate, to reproduce, when there's, you know, there just isn't corridors for them to roam. We need to work hard to obviously get them the space that they need to thrive. And that is working with local communities so that everybody has, you know, a vested interest in looking after the rhino, because, you know, they're such beautiful animals and there are so many, you know, there's so many benefits to, I mean, the rhino is all species of rhino. They're a huge part of the ecosystem. So it's not just the rhinos. If rhinos were extinct, there'll be a whole host of other animals that are dependent on rhinos. So it's just an important link in the vital, you know, in the environment. And then in Africa, in the case of, you know, the white rhinos, the black rhinos, it's poaching, which is, you know, which is tragic that we can even be talking about that in this day and age. But yeah, it's still prevalent, the illegal trade in rhino horn, you know, particularly in China, Southeast Asia. I cannot get my head around it. I mean, basically, the rhino horn is fingernails and hair.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, keratin, and, you know, they think that this random belief that, you know, it has, you know, some sort of medicinal benefit, or they just want it as a status symbol.
Yeah.
And like I say, I can't get my head around that in this day and age. But yeah, so it's between poaching and the habitat loss primarily that the rhinos are really, really suffering. So that's where Save the Rhino, among their many projects that they undertake, it's a big part is working, as I say, with the local communities and getting everybody on board, because obviously you need to avoid the poaching. You need people to be aware of you know, the fact that the rhinos need that habitat. So you need everybody to be sort of winning by having the rhinos around. I mean, it would be just the biggest tragedy if we lost them, as I say, not just for rhinos, but for the whole ecosystem.
Yeah. And then, so I think what's good with the Save the Rhino, you can see as a donator or a sponsor, you know, you can set up a monthly amount to go out of your account, can't you? A couple of glasses of wine's worth, or a meal deal, whatever.
Yep.
But you can see how it's worked, you know, that those different species that you mentioned. So there's, I think there's an involvement then where sometimes if you're just donating, you don't actually, that's it. You don't know how it's helping. And I think, you know, how you've just explained so simply, and also how the Save the Rhino do for people who are sponsoring. But it's also then good to get the next generation involved, to say if mums, dads, uncles, aunties, grandparents make a donation, then that's something that they can share and show with their children, nephews and nieces, and get that sort of mindset involved, especially with school donations, group donations. And I think because you're so receptive, you know, Rhino Chris, you know, to do a message to like a brownie group or a Cubs group or something like that, you're more receptive to do that. So before you started doing the Rhino Chris running, were you a runner before, Chris? Or you thought, right, I'm going to give it a go?
No, I've always loved rhino. Running as well as rhinos. And I, you know, I get to combine my two passions. I mean, again, when I was little, I'd probably drive my parents up the wall because, you know, they'd ask me to get something and I'd sort of sprint off and just enjoyed running as much as I can up and down the stairs. I was, you know, always to be found sort of running, a little bit of singing too, a little bit of dancing, all of which I do in the rhino suit. So it's kind of, as I say, yeah, combining those passions. I love running. It's like a therapy for me. It, you know, it gets my head straight. I get into a zone where I just see things more clearly.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you live in the moment when you're running. Yeah. I think it's what we all need to do in life. Yeah. You take things one step at a time. I love the, you know, endurance events. I love ultras. Primarily, I'll run those as a human. But you know, the odd time, the rhino, you know, I get to run with the rhino for a little bit of extra rhino power. But yeah, running in the costume, you cannot beat that feeling. I sometimes describe it as an unfair advantage because you get so much love and support.
Yeah.
In the costume. Yeah, I always say, if ever you're feeling cynical about the world, and you know we all do when we're watching the news and it seems like bad news, bad news, bad news, you put that costume on and you see the best in people, the absolute best.
Yes,
People are incredible. People are awesome. I've made the most wonderful friends. Hopefully I can count you as one of them.
Hugh. Yes, mate. I mean,
you get to meet the best people, and people want to help you. It's amazing. And do you know what, this whole, we're talking about rhinos, and of course that's the primary thing that we're trying to do is raise awareness, but I really feel like this campaign, you know, part of the honor for me is it seems to be doing way more than just helping rhinos. You know, it's this year I'm getting to do lots of school visits. It's a huge project that I've undertaken with Save the Rhino, so we're visiting schools. I'm in the rhino costume, of course, but we're talking about rhinos, rhino conservation, but the environment as a whole and what kids can do. I've written a children's book. They read it in the English classes, the particular school that we visited most recently. They've got a thing called a Take One Week. So they take one charity and they build the syllabus around it. It's an amazing thing.
Great idea.
So they built kind of week's worth of lessons around Save the Rhino, and they were reading my book in English, which again I can't get my head around. It's so wonderful. But then they're writing their own stories, which then we went back about a month later, and they presented their stories. They'd created rhino artwork. They'd made sculptures from recycled materials. They bought into it so much that honestly it was an emotional day.
I bet, Chris. The
Kimberley Hall. And they had all of their work exhibited. And I wanted to cry the minute I walked in there because it was just overwhelming love and how much, you know, I was struck with how much the children care. You know, my book is called Matamini, which is a Swahili word for hope. And I've called it hope because it is, you know, obviously my hope that together we can save a species. But I have never been more filled with hope than that day walking in that assembly and seeing that transition. So as I say, it's not just about rhinos, it's about education. We've had special events dedicated to, again, you know, fundraising, raising awareness for rhinos. But I've had people at those events where I've brought along extra rhino costumes and people have got to run, you know, a lap. So, you know, 3 miles in the rhino suit, walking my hooves, as it were. And I've had them sort of come and say, look, I've been struggling, you know, I've been depressed, and today is one of the happiest days. I've loved being a rhino. So I just feel like it's having more profound and beautiful consequences, which it just gives a joy and a meaning to my life. And
yeah.
You know, I can't thank people enough for getting on board like that.
I think, Chris, that's amazing, especially, you know, with the schools, because it's almost replicating, whatever I'm trying to say, whenever you were out in Kenya seeing that passions, you've become a vessel for that. And then these kids, you know, this will start their gateway into their own journeys and so on, Chris, which is fantastic. So let's talk stats, all right, mate? How many marathons have you done? Oh, but first of all, how much does the suit weigh?
The suit is 13 kilos.
What does that work out in somebody who doesn't understand how to weigh things? 13?
Yeah, 13. Yeah, really, really heavy, I'd say. What's that? It's like a couple of stone, isn't it? I don't know.
Again, yeah, Chris, that's the weight of my two dogs. In dog, if anyone wants to come around to the house to put Coco and Izzy on their shoulders, imagine flipping out, Chris. And then, did you make these, or is the Save the Rhino people, they make them?
Yeah, look, it's a cool story, actually, because all the way back 1992, the CEO of Save the Rhino at the time, they happened to be at a theatre production in Chichester. So they're watching this play, and it involved rhinos, and there was this awesome costume. And as they're watching, they thought, you know, this would be so amazing for fundraising. And obviously, at the end of the production, they've chatted with the director, and this production company were kind enough to donate the rhino costumes to Save the Rhino, who then, you know, adapted them slightly so that they could run. They've evolved a bit over the years. But yeah, the first rhino runner, a guy called Todd, who I was honoured to meet recently. It was the 30th birthday of Save the Rhino. A few weeks back, so we had there was an event in London that I went along, and I met the original founders of Save the Rhino. I met Todd, the first ever rhino runner. You know, these guys, all heroes to me. And do you know what? They were turning around and saying that to me. You know, I can't even explain to you when your heroes are calling you a hero.
Oh, that's just, Chris.
You know, it was beautiful. But these amazing people who did so much in the early years and continue to do so much. But yeah, so that's the origin. So the rhinos, yeah, they ran 1992, or a rhino first ran 1992 at the London Marathon. Like I say, the costumes evolved. My costumes evolved because I've pretty much had the same rhino. Well, it's a bit like Trigger's broom, you know, only fools and horses. It's the same rhino that's been, but you know, changed parts of. But yeah, it's lived with my wife and I since 2009. So now we're up to I've run 97 as of Saturday just gone, 97 marathons in the rhino costume, and then we're going to have 98 at Brighton in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm just writing all this down. Yeah,
then Manchester, number 99, the week after, 14th of April, and then the big one, the 100 at London on the 21st of April.
Oh my word. And what's your fastest
marathon I ran as a rhino was 4 hours and 6 minutes, which qualified as a Guinness World Record. Another amazing day. Do you remember the first time I ever wore that costume in 2009? I ran the first couple of miles just thinking, this is impossible. I can't do this. How am I gonna get round 26 miles? And then suddenly you run in 2021. I managed to run that 4 hours 6 minutes. Purely down to the love that I felt on the streets of London that I always feel every time I run in that costume, the adrenaline that surges through you. I started saying earlier that the unfair advantage that you have by having all of that attention and love that's on you, it drives you to places that you thought were impossible.
Yeah.
Like we all can sometimes think, you know, saving a species seems impossible, but nothing is. Your dreams really can come true when you all work together. Mm. And that Guinness World Record, that fastest time, 4 hours 6, that's not my record, that's the rhino's record.
Yes.
And that's everybody who supported and cheered and loved and called out and clapped. That is all of our record. And it makes me so proud that, you know, I've got something to share with everybody.
Because I met you for the first time, I'm trying to think, 2021 or 2020, 22, 21. Because did you do our race last year or the year before?
We lose track, yes. I've run Snowdon the last 2 years. I'll happily be back there this year. I love the event. So, yeah, it must have been 2022.
Yeah, so we've got London, which is flat, and then we've got the Snowdon Marathon, which isn't, yeah, Chris? And like whenever I met you for the first time, we're chatting away. But as you say, you forget what you're about to embark on because it's just there's just this pure buzz and atmosphere. Now, taking the rhino kit off, does it act as a sort of, you know, people go around with weighted jackets to train and stuff. Are you shit off a shovel whenever? Well, you are because you did our 100. But what have you done a marathon lately without it on? I bet you haven't, have you? Have you? Because
No, I don't think I've run a marathon as a human for about 2 years, to be honest. No, maybe even longer.
I love that. Yeah. Get on a T-shirt. I haven't run a marathon as a human for 2 years. It's the human bit. Love it. Love it.
I've really, it's only been the ultra event. You're awesome, you know. Penlyn, I just loved last year. That was a, you know, one of my best human events that I could.
Oh, it was great having you.
It was fabulous. It was just such a beautiful part of the world. Again, with wonderful, amazing people. It's massively in my heart. Everyone I got to spend time with that day, and I, you know, hopefully I'll be back this year with the Rhino, and that will be awesome to be back with you all.
That'll be fun. What distance are you looking at as the Rhino? Did you say?
Well, I was thinking give 50 a crack with the Rhino.
Yeah, nighttime start, coastal, dressed as a Rhino. I'm on for that. Now, would you want somebody to run with you, Chris?
People inevitably do. The only thing that I would say that I always feel guilty about is it's not. We were talking about the weight of the costume earlier. It's the awkwardness as well. More than anything, you know, the weight you can deal with it. You know, the body sits on your back like a backpack. It's holding the head the entire time.
Yeah.
And your forearms are sort of up. And it's your lower back where you're leaning forward. You're in the most weird position. Even though I seem to be sort of morphing, it's becoming my natural running gait these days. But and my feet, I don't even get me started on my feet. They are like rhino hooves these days. But that's another story. I'm going off on a tangent. But people, when they run with you, I love it. But I feel guilty because I can't hear a lot in that costume when I'm running, especially.
Doesn't matter.
It's not only the rattling of the costume, but if people are kind enough, or I have the donation jar on the horn.
I think that's brilliant.
Got coins in, you've got the rattling coins, you can't hear, and you feel like anyone running with you, they're asking questions, they're showing an interest, and you're saying, what, pardon, sorry, the whole way through. You have to keep apologising, but I think most people understand, and just having people next to me is awesome. And I can obviously hear them, and I do try and sort of call out and you know, have a little sing song or whatever we need to do. But yeah, it's fun. So whoever wants to run along, fabulous. But yeah, don't expect the best Rhino conversation.
And then you know, the statos amongst us are going to be like, right, how are you fueling yourself? What are you taking on board? Because you're going to drill through calories wearing that, I bet. You know, there's a bit of a sweat-a-thon. Maybe it isn't, maybe it's... But what are you doing on for your fuel, your electrolytes, your food during a marathon? But 4 hours, 4.5 hours, you're not out for long, are you? So, yeah, how do you eat?
Well, I guess the biggest fuel, if it doesn't sound too cheesy, the biggest fuel that I've got is that love and the energy that I get from everyone around me. That's the best fuel.
Love that. You could ever. Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, every run is different. And I don't know, I'm probably, Save the Rhino were nice enough to invite me along recently to talk to, every year we can script some new rhinos for London, but also there's about 60 runners who will be running for the charity in the bright yellow t-shirt. And they invited me along to chat to everyone again a few weeks back in the lead up to London. And everybody was asking me questions like you've just asked me there. And I kind of have to say I'm almost the worst person that could ever sort of give any advice, because I seem to do everything wrong. I mean, obviously running in the costume itself, it's not the
norm,
the advisable thing you could do. And I really do, I don't have a set routine or pattern. If I'm hungry, if I'm running low on those reserves, then yeah, I will eat when I need to, I will drink when I need to, I will stop and kind of try and get the crowds going when I need to. The best thing, I'll put my arms into the rhino's hooves and high five the kids and generate those massive smiles.
Brilliant.
That give you a bit. So I just take every single, again, like I said, in terms of running in general, just take it in the moment.
Yeah.
Just live in the moment and go with it. And I seem to thrive on that. I think I run more than anything with my heart. I probably do everything wrong on paper, but I just follow my heart. It's like the message I'd like to give in life. Just follow your heart and you will get through. You will get there in the end.
I think as well, Chris, because you're not prescriptive with your fueling and so on, you're not having to sort of refresh the brain so many times during the race that you can be, hiya, you're right, rather than going, oh, I've got to do my shake, my gel. You've got that, you know, as you say, love and light, that's able just to carry on and so on. How many times? So, how many rhino suits are there, Chris? Like, as in the team?
Yeah, so in fact, the most rhinos we ever had at London were 19, all lined up. That was in 2019, and that was, I've got an amazing photo.
Wow.
One of my favourite photos, because the way I see it, it's like a metaphor for what we're trying to do in the wild. You know, the more rhinos...
A goosebumps for that one, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, wow. And it goosebumps for me every time. Every time someone runs in the rhino suit, they're now my rhino brother or sister.
Yeah.
You know, I have a growing rhino family, and that, again, yeah, that's what we want in the wild. That's what we need. So it's, I think this year, all being well, fingers crossed, there'll be 18 rhinos in London, which is incredible. So the number of suits at any given time varies because, yeah, the cost, especially me, it's the only area I think Save the Rhino, they were kind enough to name me as their ambassador. Again, massively proud moment in my life. But that's the only area maybe they tell me off a little bit is I'm constantly needing to repair that costume. So I'm probably putting, you know, rhino bits out of action for a bit longer sometimes. But yeah.
And then your rhino running, just UK, or have you been overseas as well to do it? Or
yeah, so I took the rhino to New York in 2010. It, amazing adventure. Brought JFK to a standstill. That was pre-order. You know what customs guys are like? They were looking all stern and, you know, what the hell's going on here? And within minutes, once I explained, you know, I'm fundraising, I'm here in New York to raise awareness, I'm running the marathon in this costume. They thought it was brilliant. And one by one, they were coming out of other booths and all trying on the costume.
Oh,
these stern,
yes,
customs guys were suddenly like big kids. It was awesome. And then you turned around and there was a queue as far as the eye could see of people where it's just brought it, you know, brought everyone, as I say, to a standstill, and where they're queuing up. But you know what? Nobody was upset or angry or in. I think there were just smiles all around. It was kind of an awesome thing. And then, you know, New York's a bit different to, say, an event like London, there, where there's a lot of fancy dress runners. New York, I honestly, maybe I saw one or two others.
Wow.
I got even more attention, arguably.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. So many stories from New York. But talking of internationally, later on this year, so September, is another exciting thing that I just can't wait for, is I'm getting the opportunity to take my rhino home, as it were. We're going back to Africa, we're going back to Kenya, and I'm going to take on a run called Run for Rangers. So it's all another Save the Rhino organised run, but it's organised primarily for those rangers, again, those real life heroes who put their lives on the line every single day protecting those beloved rhinos. So I'm going to go and meet my real life heroes. I'm going to run through five different conservations over 5 days. It's 230Ks over 5 days. I'm going to try and do it all in the rhino costumes. It's going to be hot, there's altitude, you know, there's so many things to think about aside from, you know, that I'm running with wild animals, and you know, you never know, you might get an amorous rhino.
I was going to say,
how's
that Chris Rhino lad getting up? Oh, he was all right, apart from he's now pregnant.
He's paired up, but again, you know, this is what we're trying to do, isn't it? You know, more rhinos, get some rhino love out there.
This race, the Run for Rangers, are the entries still open for that, for people in normal clothes?
Good question.
We'd have to check. Because it's quite a famous race, isn't it? The Run for Rangers.
Yeah. So it's a famous race. They hold it every year. As I say, it's epic in every sense of the word. The fact that you're running through those conservations, the fact that you're running with the rangers, it's you know, beyond the ultimate. It's you know, who organised.
Oh, they're brilliant.
They're brilliant events. It'll be my first one with them, but I've only heard, you know, amazing things. And the fact that, you know, as I say, I get to take the rhino home, I'm so excited. So yeah, I honestly don't know whether it's still open. For,
have you got a documentary team going with you or anything like that, Chris?
Yeah, there will be. There'll be lots going on around it, and obviously, hopefully, it'll be the first time you know where a rhino's run it. So
I think that's good. And that's the first week in September.
Yes, first week in September, yeah. 1st of September, I fly out to Nairobi. So
that's going to be incredible. And then, so people can donate to you as well. But, you know, I think I'm speaking personally from meeting you the first time, you get the rhino-ness come on. If people want to do their own sort of like fundraising or for, you know, the rhino, what things have you seen, you know, schools, clubs or running clubs or, you know, groups of people in work? What kind of fundraising things have you seen? Oh, that's a good idea. You know, sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, so many. And I think that's sometimes the most stressful thing that, you know, fundraising, I think about it all the time. And obviously, you know, part of what I've done over the years is I've needed to evolve and think up ever more weird and wonderful, you know, ways of fundraising, because it is really hard. It's daunting. I say people are amazing, but it's sort of being able to get people to stand up and take notice. And you know, obviously there's nothing like wearing a huge rhino costume to do that. But over the years, there's been so many things that, you know, sort of rhino concerts, rhino raffles that we've done, you know, from a rhino taxi, so, you know, driving people around, and then, you know, they donate whatever they want for the lift, you know, to your fundraising, all kinds of weird and wonderful things. And also where people have said to me something's impossible, that's where I'm like, right, well, you know, it's like a red rag to a rhino, you know.
Yes, mate.
Somebody said, with Snowden, they did it. They said to me, well, it's not one for the rhino. There was actually a guy at the start line, and the first year I ran it, and he came out, and he was being nice. He was well-intentioned, but he was also quite, he was full-on with it. He came out and he went, take the suit off. And I said, sorry? He said, that, look, it's not a race for the rhino. Please take it off. He went, nobody will think any less of you. It's just, you're gonna do yourself an injury. Please take
bye.
It off.
Bye. See ya. I'm going to PB this.
I thanked him, but I said, you know, look, I've run all kinds of different terrains and through places and things that people have said impossible. Beachy Head down on the south coast at Eastbourne. Again, somebody said to me, you cannot run that in a rhino suit. And I signed up the next day. You know, yeah. It's so these are the things that in order to fundraise, and more importantly, raising awareness. It's not just about fun. It's awesome when people donate, but it is getting the word out there, because, you know, there are so many different ways that people can help. And again, you know, that comes back to the whole education message. Is surely if we change that mindset, if we inspire a love of all our animals, not just rhinos, of all of our animals of this planet, if we inspire that love right at the very beginning, then that carries through, and we don't need to be, you know, campaign. I'm knackered, as I said. I'm going grey. I'm feeling old. It's save the Chris as much as save the rhino now. You know, I'd love nothing more than to retire because we've made rhino safe. You know, I love these runs and everything. But yeah, if I could retire knowing we've done it, you know, I'd be the happiest man / rhino alive.
And talking about the Chris with his hooves up, what do you do to chillax? And, you know, what's your not running time? What are the hobbies or sports or relaxation things you do? Do you?
Yeah, if my wife was sat next to me now, she'd sort of be rolling her eyes saying, no, he doesn't stop, you know. But my wife doesn't either, you know. Part, again, she wouldn't mind me saying, I mean, you know, part of my journey, or our journey with my wife, she's been through a lot in her life, and she is the most supportive. You know, putting up with living with somebody, you know, who's constantly smelly, constantly running around, and this is me that I'm talking about, not the rhino. The rhino's fine. I mean, it lives with us. It's not the problem. But she puts up with a lot, obviously, when I get in from events and you know, all of the fundraising campaign, most of it is her ideas, or let's go down, let's do a photo shoot here, let's try this. So she's awesome, but she's been through a lot health-wise, and she was going through chemo back in 2013, and she chose to have like an ice cap to retain her hair as best she could. And it was excruciating for her while she's having the chemo. So to take her mind off it, I said, look, let's make a list. Let's sit here and make a list of all the things that we're going to do when this is behind us. And both of us wrote on there, you know, how much we wanted to help animals. And that's what we've tried to do sort of the rest of our lives, sort of galvanize us. It's good doing good things. It's good seeing how amazing people can be. It's good having that feeling that we're generating a momentum. People give it to me, like I said earlier, they give it to me all the time. And if I can give a small portion of what people have given me, of what my wife gives me, of what you as a friend are giving me by chatting with me today, all the people, you know, watching and listening are giving me, if I can give like a tiny portion of that back, then that, I cannot tell you the joy that fills my heart with. Mm. So, you know, it's all reciprocal. It's just going round and round, and we can generate so, we can do so much good with that goodwill. We can just pay it forward, and you know, it is a beautiful, profound thing if we can do it.
And it's simple, isn't it? It's not complicated. It's just, you know, being in the moment, as you say, and doing things for other people. Do you know how many miles you've done as a rhino? Or am I going too stato now? If you've coming up to 100 marathons, that's 2,600 miles.
Yep.
How much have you raised, Chris, do you know, on for you direct?
The current fundraising is up to about 23,500 at the moment.
Wow, Chris, that's brilliant.
Hopefully. By London always, you know, gives it a boost. I think more importantly, that I'm really proud. And again, I never thought that was possible when I ran for the first time, you know, fundraising for Save the Rhino. I never thought of those sort of sums of money, you know, sort of one person slash rhino doing that. But as I say, well, it isn't one person. It's so many people. But I just think that there is the capability to you know, to push extremes. It's amazing things that, look, rhinos are special and unique. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Rhinos are special and unique, but so are the people that get behind these things. We're all special and unique. We're all capable of so much more than maybe sometimes we give ourselves credit. So I think that's the biggest sort of message that I like to say is that how special and wonderful, you know, people are, and we can beat ourselves up about a lot of the things that are going on in the world, but we are capable of affecting the change that, you know, that is needed, and we can do that. There's more good than bad. I mean, maybe we listen sometimes, you know, the politicians and everything, maybe we're listening to the wrong people, because I'm telling you, but the people talk so much sense when I'm out and about and interacting.
You focus on the good times, yeah, Chris. That, as you say, future focusing, focus on the good times. But I think what I picked up a lot on whenever you were, you know, I was talking, can people run with you? And you were saying they can, but they won't be able to hear anything. But they'll go, you know, people, if you're having a good time, you sometimes don't remember the conversation. You just remember the good time. So it doesn't matter. And that's what's lovely about running. Or hiking or walking or the outdoors, is you are in that moment. So because you're physically going forward, everything else untangles and stuff. Go ask a question. What's the history with the horn? Why has the rhinoceros got a horn? Do we know?
Well, do you know what? I like to think that it's, you know, like I said earlier, you know, people want it as a status symbol in their home, misguided ideas in China,
yeah,
Southeast Asia, that they, the only place for a horn is on a rhino. They look absolutely magnificent. They have evolved into the most beautiful, again, magnificent animal that I personally, obviously I'm biased, I could ever imagine. That's their unique, as I say, their unique thing that makes them so special, that makes them stand out. They're making a statement. They're out there saying, look at us. How much poorer would this world be if we were in it? How much more, you know, do you need than this awesome horn right here? Who doesn't love a horn in their life? Like elephants with their trunks.
Oh, right, beautiful. Their,
every deers. Animal is beautiful. They've got their thing. Humans too. And you know what? It is one hell of a beautiful, beautiful planet. Both my parents, I lost my dad back in November, sadly. My mum, she was only young when she passed away, but both of them, they instilled in me a love of this planet, of the animals, and how much we need to cherish it. You know, they both of them taught me to stand up and protect the things that we love the most. So, you know what, the rhino with its fantastic horn and all those animals, they all need that love and protection, and they need that space to thrive. And there is no reason why we can't enable it, because we're all sharing this planet, and it will be richer for it, and will be richer for it. And it says everything about our humanity, you know, the way that we treat the animals that we're lucky enough to share this world with.
Oh, brilliant, Chris. And just to finish, just to remind everyone, I'll put in the information in the notes. They can donate on through the link. They can also do a monthly payment as well if they want. And teachers and so on can have a look at how to do the syllabus on, you know, as you're explaining earlier. I'll also put a list of where people can see you. We've got Brighton. We've then got, what was the night? Manchester. And then 21st of April, day after the She Ultra. That's the one. I can't wait for that. I cannot wait for the interview on the bridge. You know what I mean? It's like, right, where's, you know, like you're watching TV and I'm like, I know him. It's Chris. It's my mate. So listen, Chris, thanks ever so much for coming on the show. I'll speak to you again soon anyway about getting you sorted for the Welsh Ultra Trail, as the Pintlin Ultras is now called, for the 50. Looking forward to that. Chris, thanks ever so much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you, Hugh. Love you loads.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.